blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 362, stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. 363. From the depths do I invoke thee, Lord, to me incline thy ear. To my voice be thou attentive, and my supplication hear. 363, stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless, and that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything and that is thy neighbor's. Genesis chapter 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had in hand made an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, and the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand, do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. The angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. The angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. The angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and it shall not be numbered for multitude. The angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. He will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahai-roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer Chad Outsorn, who must go into the hospital again this coming week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, when we may gather in the beginning of this thy day again, when thou givest us our life, health, and strength, when thou sparest us above so many in this world and givest us again this privilege, that we may gather under the preaching of thy holy word, then, Lord, give us also hearts that may do, as we have sung together in this morning, a heart that may look and that may wait for thee, that may wait for thee more than men watch for the morning light, and that a desire in this morning may be bound upon the heart of each and every one of us, and that we may long for thee to show thyself, that we may long for thy presence to be felt and to be experienced in our own hearts and in the hearts of our dear children and grandchildren, that thou may give in our hearts that holy burning, that may hunger and that may thirst for that which it misses and which it cannot do without, should it be well for time and for eternity. Lord, we travel each one of us unto thee, to meet thee, to appear before thy face, to stand in thy judgment. But we have no or so little realization thereof of ourselves. When we hear that this one or that one is taken away, when we ourselves are afflicted with this or with that affliction of our body, then we may become a little concerned, because then our thoughts go out to the reality of our life, which is that we shall one day die, that one day we shall appear before our Maker. But Lord, these are passing seasons, they are passing moments in our life. When Thou despair us again, and when Thou givest health and strength again, and when Thou takest away the concerns, and then we go back again to do what Thy word to say lives in the heart of the natural man, to believe that our houses shall continue forever. O Lord, wilt Thou give us then a little impression in this morning, not an impression alone in our feelings, not an impression in our natural mind only, but wilt Thou give us a saving impression? And wilt Thou bind it upon our hearts? Wilt Thou take us for Thy own account? And wilt Thou give us open eyes and understanding hearts, that we may see and that we may believe what the reality of our life is, that we may know that we are travelers to a great eternity, that we cannot die in that same state in which we have been born, and that so we may look for Thee, that so we may wait for Thee, that so we may yearn, hunger, and thirst. Oh, that so we may cry for Thee, Lord, in our own inner chamber, that we may beseech Thee for mercy and for grace, and before that it is forever and eternally too late. Lord, what hope have we, except that Thou would begin in us and in our children? What hope have we, except that Thou would be the first one, for the first or by renewal? Because we will never be the first ones. We are in need of a new birth, O Lord. And we are in need of a new heart. And we are in need of a great change. And we must be born again. Oh, come Thou then, in the life and in the heart of each and every one of us and our children. Lord, leave not one of us behind as we travel as pilgrims here upon this earth. Oh, that we may be given to flee from that broad way, that we may seek that narrow way. Oh, that Thou Thyself would take us, and that Thou would bring us upon that way through that straight gate, that we may be founded and that we may be grounded upon a foundation that shall never be washed away. Lord, wilt Thou so remember us? We have many natural needs, but Thou sayest that there is one thing needful. That is the purpose that we gather together, Sabbath after Sabbath day, and that we may consider what our relationship is to Thee, that we are lying in a broken covenant, that we have destroyed everything, thrown it upside down, and that we now have no more desire for the true and the living God. Oh, that this a great ruin may be bound upon our hearts, and that we may cry out of the midst of that horrible pit and that miry clay for help in time of need. Lord, deliver us. Oh, look upon us and take us by heart and by hand. Oh, how shall our life then become so different in a moment? Then in one moment we shall begin to love Thee, and we shall begin to hate sin.
And then in one moment we shall begin upon a journey which we shall never be sorry for, to repent a repentance that shall never be repented of. Do look therefore upon thy children also, because thou knowest what that straight and that narrow way, where it does lead in their life, and that there are also many hills which are difficult to climb. They are not able to go around them. But Lord, thou knowest the disappointments that they have to endure. When they had expected so much from their own side, and that they would love and that they would serve thee, if as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But Lord, thou knowest what becomes of it. Thou knowest how that it is lived out in their life. And thou knowest the great ruin that they must experience. That thou would uphold thy children in the strife, in the warfare, and that they may be given a little encouragement in this morning hour, that thou may shine a little from heaven thy dwelling place as that blessed Son of Righteousness, that they may be given to look away from self, and that they may be given to behold thee, and who and what thou art in all thy beauty, for a poor and a miserable and a wretched sinner. O Lord, then they shall rejoice for a moment, when thou may give true faith and exercise for a moment. Then they may taste a little. Oh, then they may sing a little. And then their heart may go out to thee again a little. And they shall be strengthened upon the pathway that leads to thy eternal throne. Lord, remember them. And the little ones also in grace. And the little lambs that must be carried by that great shepherd. Oh, how that they would stray, because they do not know the way, because it is all such a great mystery unto them. But Lord, wilt thou instruct and wilt thou lead them and give them to receive something of the gifts of that greater Boaz when they are not able yet to say that they are married unto him, but that thou would give them strength to continue, instruction in the depth of iniquity, instruction in the great height of the redemption of thy only begotten Son, that where sin abounds, then they may see, and that grace does also much more abound. O Lord, remember then thy church. Remember us as a congregation in all the needs and in the cares that are upon us in this life. Thou knowest that there are those that have concerns for loved ones, though they be not of our own congregation. Lord, wilt thou remember them in mercy and supply and heal the bodies where there is affliction and where there is weakness. Wilt thou look upon the child that must go into the hospital again in the week to come? Lord, wilt thou stand on the right and on the left again? And that the parents may be given a place to beseech thee, and that thou may bless all that takes place from time to time for his body, and all those that have difficulties within the body, and that are known, but also, Lord, that are unknown, because we do not know what we carry with us. And then any day and any moment, then it can be that we receive a message. Or when we feel the pains of the body, then they are all callings unto us. Lord, wilt thou look upon us and give that the callings may be sanctified and blessed. that our health and our strength and that the good years, the prosperous years, may be used to seek our Maker before that it is forever too late. Oh, look upon our dear children and youth. Remember them this day. Oh, Lord, by nature no desire. But thou dost work so often in the heart of the children. And in the days of youth when thou wilt convert thy people. And therefore thou dost say unto the children, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Lord, may thou take them by heart and by hand this day. And give them while they are still young to be able to understand spiritual things. Oh, that they may receive that spiritual life. Then it also must needs eat and drink. Oh, give to us then, O Lord, as thy servant, what we stand in need of also in this morning hour. And in this day and in the day of tomorrow. When we are called to stand before our congregation. And Lord, thou knowest all that lies upon us. And we are but a man. But Lord, wilt thou give us wisdom. And wilt thou pour forth thy Holy Spirit. That we may receive the unction of thy Spirit to preach thy holy word. A little freedom and liberty in the midst of this, our people, amongst whom, over whom thou hast made us overseer. And Lord, could it be that all the many labors that we are called to perform may not be in vain, but that they may be sanctified and blessed to each and every one, and that we may be given a true turning from our sin. That the sorrow may be born in our heart after God. Oh, so may thou bless thy word, thou almighty one, and thou all-sufficient one, to give us everything that we stand in need of. Lord, forgive and take away all that is sinful within and without. For Jesus' sake, amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 60, stanzas 1 through 5. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, oh, put me not to shame before triumphant foes. Psalter number 60, all stanzas. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in a portion of God's Word read to you, Genesis 16, and thereof the second verse, Genesis 16, verse 2. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. So far, the words of our text. The church contrives to help the Lord. First, Sarai's temptation, and second, Abram's yielding. The church contrives to help the Lord. First, Sarai's temptation, and second, Abram's yielding. Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. That is the word of Sarai, the wife of Abram. What does Sarai do? Sarai acknowledges something that is not acknowledged generally in the world that we live in. That is, Sarai acknowledges that children are of the Lord. The Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Do we believe this, congregation? That the opening and the closing of the womb, that this is of the Lord. That which the Lord gives in the womb, that is life. Life. And life that is not at the bidding of men to give or to take away. And therefore, it is not man's prerogative to deal and to meddle in this thing. Do we also keep this in mind? And this awful sin of our nation and the legalizing of this sin in our nation, to meddle with life in the womb, when soon in this week we will have to go unto the polls. Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Children, they are not given to every married couple. Some are withheld from bearing, and this congregation can be so very difficult. Sarai was a woman fair to look upon. Sarai was a woman who was married to a very rich man, to Abram. She had everything that she could desire in this life. And yet she is barren. Thus we see every home bearing its own cross in this world. Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. With these words, we see that Sarai recognizes reality. She recognizes the reality of her own barren womb. Thus, Sarai does not live in a state of denial. And Sarai also brings this now to the attention of her husband Abram, as she says, Behold now. She says, Look here at the evidence. She says, This is the reality. This is something that we are not able to deny. and even more, Sarai may bow under this afflicting hand of the Lord. Sarai may receive this cross as from the Lord. And that is, congregation, always a great blessing. Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. And when a man in this world may bow under the afflicting hand of the Lord, then he may receive a little rest and a little peace in his affliction. Then he may be able to deny himself and his own desires and his own dreams, his hopes, and he may rest in that will of the Lord. May we ever say that, that despite all our disappointments, that the Lord is good. And yet we read that Sarai cannot leave it. Although she may bow under this, yet we read that this woman is not able just to leave it, but it remains for her a burden. That this inability to bear is raising so many questions in the mind of Sarai. And why? Because this burden that Sarai bears is not the same as the burden of every barren wife. Sarai bears here something more than just that natural burden over that natural desire to have children in this world. Sarai is a woman who fears the Lord. That is, that name of the Lord is precious to her soul. Sarai is a woman also of faith. Sarai is a woman that believes. What does that faith do? It rests. It believes. It receives. It takes hold of the word of the Lord. Whether it is the threatening of the Lord, whether it is the promise of the Lord, faith believes it. And Sarai is also the wife of Abram. Is that special? Is that different from being the wife of some other man in this world? Yes. Why? Because Abram has received a promise from the Lord. Thus, this cross, the cross that has to do with a matter that is greater than just a natural desire for seed in this world. It has to do with the Lord. It has to do with the faithfulness of the Lord. It has to do with the promise of the Lord. It has to do with the coming, the promise of that coming Messiah. It has to do with the salvation of the whole church of God. And for many years, Sarai has hoped. For many years, Sarai has waited. And she has had great expectations. Do we know what they are? The expectations in the beginning of that new life. And slowly, those hopes have diminished. Very slowly. Step by step. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, very slowly those hopes, they are being taken away. Do we know such a life? That expectation, and that there is in self, and that expectation in that very discouraging life that slowly, step by step, is being eroded. And then Satan, he is often there also to do what? To show the reality. And to show Sarai what she has shown unto Abram, to say to Sarai, behold, look, see what the reality is. And then how is it? And then that faith that sometimes may cling, that faith may sometimes cleave, and other times not. That other times it trembles, that it wavers, and it fears that it will perish altogether. And when is that faith the strongest? Faith is the strongest when it may believe in the impossibility. When all the hope of man is cut off. Now we see something of this here in Sarai, that she may still believe it. She says, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. And yet she cannot let go. She cannot let go of that word of the Lord. She cannot make a liar out of the Lord concerning that promise that the Lord has promised unto Abram, her husband. No, that still, that has to be true. Why? Because the Lord himself is true. And now what does man begin to do in his foolishness? He begins to reason. He begins to try in a human way to fit everything together. To make the promise of the Lord fit into the reality, fit with the circumstances of their life. The Sarai does not doubt here the substance of the promise of the Lord, but she begins to question, how will the Lord fulfill this promise? She begins to think maybe that we have been mistaken in this part of it. Maybe that it is not going to be the way that we always thought. As the way that the Lord would fulfill this promise, that has never been revealed unto us. Thus maybe the assumptions, the natural assumptions that we have made, maybe those assumptions are wrong. The Lord indeed has spoken concerning Abram. And I indeed am the wife of Abram, but the Lord has never spoken concerning me. Thus maybe this promise that is going to be fulfilled in a completely different way than we thought, maybe that it will be fulfilled through another person, through another wife. Yes. It must be. It must be. Why? Well, behold. Behold the reality. Behold my age. Behold that the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Look at the circumstances. It must be. People of the Lord, are you a stranger of such reasonings? to try to bring together the reality of your circumstances with the word of the Lord. How often, when you try to do this, do you not discount the power of the Lord? How often, when you are busy with your reasonings, do you not discount His wisdom, His almighty power? How often, when you begin in your reasonings, do you not bring that Most High God down unto the level of a man, the Creator unto the level of His creature? And how often, when you begin to reason and try to fit everything together, do you not lead yourself into a way of temptation? A way of temptation wherein that church of God is not able to uphold itself. And Sarai said unto Abram, "Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her." That's what a Sarai do. She proposes a remedy. "Go in unto my maid." Who is that? That is Hagar. Hagar, that was a servant girl probably given unto Abram, unto Sarai, as a gift from that king of Egypt. So what does Sarai want Abram to do? Does she want Abram to commit fornication? Does she want Abram to defile himself? Does she want Abram to sin? No. No, not at all. No, but she wishes Abram to do what so many other people in that time also did, especially those people who were rich, those people who were of great estate. What was that? To take unto themselves a second wife, to practice polygamy. That was a common practice of that time. And yet it is not according to the institution of the Lord. Congregation, when something is a common practice of the time, and often we do not see the sin in it. Is that not so? Must we not say that also in our days? With what man is doing, and with that blessed and pure institution of holy matrimony, where man is taking it into his own hands to separate, to divorce, and to remarry, as so that the world around us has a common practice, thus to sin against that holy institution of the Lord. Here we see that it comes even within the house of that old patriarch. Must we not say also that these sins, they come also within the house of God? I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. Hagar, of course, is a maidservant, and Sarai, she will claim the offspring of her servant for herself. But in this proposal, we see that Sarai evidences, she shows a great humility. And that is the effect of many years of waiting. That is the effect of all the disappointments that she has received in her life. And that she is ready to yield her conjugal rights, the rights of a wife, the rights of a spouse. She is ready to yield these unto someone else. She is willing to humble herself to give her own maidservant into her own husband's bosom, that she may be the mother of the seed of Abram, of that promised seed. Why does she do this? Oh, she will do it for the sake of her husband. When she sees, when she says, "Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing," and then she is ready to step aside, as it were, for the sake of her husband. She is ready to forget herself. She is ready to give up her own rights. Why will she do it? She will do it for the sake of the Lord. She will do it for the sake of His promise. To allow that promise to be fulfilled, she will do it that she may make it possible for God. She will make a way for Him. She will not stand in the way of the Lord. Thus Sarai has a good motive. She has love to her husband, and she has love to the Lord. And she also has faith, that she believes that the promise of the Lord that has to be fulfilled. But Sarai proposes a wrong remedy. A wrong remedy. Sometimes it is difficult to know what the way of the Lord is. Is that not so, young people? Or do you not desire to know what the way of the Lord is? And when you must make a decision, do you then go upon your knees to ask the Lord to show to you His way? And then sometimes you say, "Is this the way of the Lord, or is this not the way of the Lord?" Sometimes that can be so difficult. But here it is not difficult. And why is it not difficult here? Because this way that is against the law of the Lord, this way that is against the holy institution of the Lord, and when it is against the word of the Lord, then it cannot be the Lord's way. Polygamy, that is not a lawful institution. That is an institution of man, instituted probably that he may increase the rate of procreation, of bringing forth people, children, of peopling the world, but a violation of the law of God, an intrusion into that sacred institution, the union who has made of two one flesh. Sarai, I was not wrong when she acknowledges and when she considers that the Lord sometimes uses means to fulfill His promises, to bring about His purposes. And then she says, "Well, maybe we need to use the means," but she forgets that the Lord stands above the means, that He can work without the means, that He can work miraculously through the means. She forgets that the end, that the purpose, that does not justify the means. Just because we have a good purpose does not mean that we may use any means that our heart desires. It is not the outcome that man is accountable for. No, it is the means that he is using that he is accountable for. And the outcome, that is for the Lord. God's law, God's word, that is, congregation, that sure guide. the Lord is so much wiser than we are. When we are going to try to circumvent, when we are going to try to go around the word and the commandment and the statute of the Lord, then we may be sure that we place ourselves in a dangerous path. So we see it was also for Abram. We see then in our second thought, Abram's yielding. But let us sing first. Psalter 359, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Unless the Lord the house shall build, the weary builders toil in vain. Unless the Lord the city shield, the guards a useless watch maintain. 1, 2, and 3 of 359. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Congregation, what a responsibility does a man have when he is an instrument to make his neighbor sin? Abram was not driven by lust to marry Hagar. No, Abram is marrying Hagar at his own wife's suggestion. Even as Adam yielded unto his wife Eve. Thus, temptation. Temptation sometimes coming from those quarters that we least expect. Temptation sometimes coming from those whom we love the most. And then is temptation the most dangerous. But this temptation does not take Abram by surprise. No, he speaks to his wife. He talks it over with his wife. As a husband and a wife, they reason, they agree together. Maybe at first Abram had some objections. But it is not so very difficult for Sarai to convince him and for these objections to be overcome. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. O Abram, do you not consider the consequences of your actions? Does this sweet temptation so blind your eyes that make you so short-sighted that you cannot see so very far into the distance? How many years, Abram, did you not so bravely contend like a soldier who was not to be conquered? How many obstacles in those years did you not overcome? Will you allow yourself to succumb now in one moment? O Abram, does not faith waver when it turns away from the word, from the institutions of the Lord? O Abram, do you think now to snatch that promised blessing by some human strategy that you may devise with your wife? O Abram, may you not wait now for that time of the Lord? And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. Oh, how must God's church pray every day and lead us not into temptation, the closest living child of the Lord. He is liable to fall at any moment. Abram hearkens. He hearkens out of an earnest desire for the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord. It is true, the Lord hasn't spoken concerning Sarai. And has not Sarai proposed this even herself? Oh, what a fair pretense that is often in an evil temptation. And Abram, he now takes matters into his own hands. In a matter that is so important, in a matter that has such far-reaching consequences, in a matter that has to do with the salvation of the church of God, he takes these matters into his own hands without asking counsel of the Lord and against the institution of the Lord. And Abram marries without the Lord's consent. And when this child is born, then for 13 years, Abram believes that this is the child that was promised by the Lord. That was the consequence of his actions. For 13 years, Abram deceives himself concerning his son and concerning the fulfillment of the Lord's promise. For 13 years, Abram justifies himself in the deed which he has done. For 13 years, Abram believes that what was his work was the Lord's work. And he highly regards the wisdom of his wife Sarai. Congregation, how deeply ingrained is that principle of self-help in the nature of a man. We are congregation members of help yourself. That is a defect. It's a defect that needs to be rooted out by the Lord. And yet it is a defect that remains in some measure within that church of God their whole life long. Because unless the Lord would bind our hands, and unless the Lord would bind our feet, man will not renounce his own strength. What man will lose his life in order that he may save it? Faith to believe, faith to rest, faith to wait. That is a gift of God. Yes, a man may believe himself when he still sees the possibility, when he still sees how it could possibly be. Then he may believe himself. As long as it has not yet come into that impossibility. But when that way is cut off, when that way is cut off, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Then it will be experienced that faith is a gift of God. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. Maybe, young people, you say, now it becomes difficult what you say. Maybe you say, well, I understood it. I could understand it up till now. I could see it in the beginning. But now you say things that are so hard for me to understand. Maybe you say, this is why, like others, I like to go elsewhere. That I like to hear something that I can understand easier. We can make it easier. We can make it easier. Do you know what we can do? we can leave out the spiritual part. Spiritual part. And then it will be much easier to understand. We will discuss and we will bring forward just the natural part. Is that what you wish us to do? Or if we would preach only the natural part, then we will have a moral preaching. A moral preaching. Preaching of do's and don'ts. Also, oh yes, we can include that too. The duty of faith. But we are not here, congregation, to tell the Bible story. Would you want us to do that, children? You hear the Bible story. From whom? From your mother, from your father. You hear it in school from your teachers. That is not our purpose, to tell you a Bible story. No, what must we tell you? We must preach something else. We must preach the Word of God. We must tell you how that you need to be saved. We must tell you how that the Lord is leading all of His own people. We must try to show to you what the mysteries of faith are. And when you are young, no, not only when you are young, when you are older, then if we preach rightly, and you are still in your natural state without grace, then there are going to be many things you will not understand. Why? The Word of God says this. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Oh yes, when we would leave this part out, then it becomes easy to understand. But then we miss the most important part. Oh, are you ever jealous of that blessed portion of the people of the Lord? The way of the Lord, congregation with His people, that is a great mystery. God's people do not even understand their way. Abram did not. Sarai did not. Asaph says, Lord, thy way is in the sea and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps, they are not known. We don't have a religion of understanding. No, we have a religion of faith. Although, we ought never to despise the understanding. Never. Faith of that true church that is a defective faith. We see this. We see this morning in Sarai. We see this in Abram. These are the heroes of faith that we read of in the Word of God. And the Lord does not hide the defects in the faith of His own church. Often a defect in the substance, that they cannot believe that the Lord would fulfill that promise. But sometimes not even in the substance, but sometimes a defect when they consider the manner. Thus, a very important distinction. and what a comfort for the true church of God to hear something about these defects. Why? Do they then understand their way? No. But then they recognize it. They recognize it when they may hear it their own way in that life of Abram and of Sarai. Or what is so often their fear, that their way is not known unto the Lord. That they travel a singular way. That they travel a way that is not known to God's people. Indeed, that they travel a way that goes to an everlasting destruction. And now what a comfort when they may hear out of that holy word of God that their way is a way that Abram and Sarai also walk. Therefore, the duty of God's servants to preach from the housetops that which takes place in the inner chamber. But congregation, do we have an inner chamber? Do we have an inner chamber? Because if we have no inner chamber, then it is evident that we are not going to understand. Oh, give. The Lord give grace. The Lord give you a place on your knees before Him. That you may also understand. That does not mean that the defects in the faith of God's people, the defects in the faith of Abram, the defects in the faith of a Sarai are a desirable thing, because they are not at all. But it is the wonder of free and sovereign grace to such even as they were. And as God's people must say, that I am. And it is in these defects that there is evidence, that is in the defects of faith that we may read in the Word of God. Here is the evidence that salvation, the foundation of salvation, that does not lie in that people, but it is grounded and it is founded on an immovable rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not based upon the faith of a man, because what is imperfect can never be the foundation of salvation. But Abram and Sarai today rejoice before that throne of God, despite all their defects, despite all their sin, despite all their unbelief, and they glorify the triune God, who is the author and finisher of their faith. Congregation, may we not be strangers of it. Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, oh, give us all to understand. Lord, we desire to bring it in a simple way. But Lord, Thou alone can give understanding, that spiritual understanding. For this faith is necessary, for this life is necessary. Lord, who alone is the giver of that life, is it not Thee? Wilt Thou remember each and every one of us, and do draw our hearts to Thy truth, that we may love Thy truth, and that we may desire to know, to walk in the way of Thy true church? Wilt thou bless thy word, forgive all that was sinful in speaking and in listening, and bring us safely to our homes with desire also in this afternoon in thy house again, and help from above for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 73, stanzas 2, 5, and 6. O Lord, regard me when I cry. In mercy, hear me when I speak. Thou bidst me seek thy face, and I, O Lord, with willing heart reply. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Psalter 73, stanzas 2, 5, and 6. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.